Let me give you the big idea for the entire message this morning. It's very simple, and that is that God is an incredibly good God. He has phenomenal plans for you, and he wants you to be able to discern what those plans are. God does not love, he does not get a kick out of playing hide-and-go-seek with us. He really enjoys us learning his voice and speaking into our hearts and our spirits. And he doesn't speak just to the super spiritual. He speaks to anybody, anywhere. Now, he doesn't speak always on our timeline, but he is a good, good father who speaks to us. So that's the big idea. Now, to get into that, let me share with you this. Sometimes we're sitting right smack in the middle of a blessing and we don't realize it. Occasionally, you and I are sitting right smack in the middle of a blessing and we don't realize it. So, on Friday of this week, I was flying back home from a place I'd been out of state, and Delta's fine. Matter of fact, I have a good friend that says, if you have a favorite airline, it just means that you haven't flown them enough. And so I'm an indiscriminate flyer, fly whoever. So I was flying, I happened to be flying Delta, and I was flying back home, and they changed my flight without telling me. So all of a sudden, my boarding pass stopped working. And as it turned out, it was fine. They rerouted me totally through a different city, and they ended up rerouting me through Atlanta, which is fine. I've been through Atlanta many, 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 many times. And so I was flying through Atlanta. It wasn't my choice, but it's what happened to me. So a little while ago, probably 6 weeks ago, someone told me about this restaurant that's around the United States called Shake Shack. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Shake Shack? If you happen, okay, sorry, Nagpur, so it's a hamburger place. Now, I'm originally from San Diego, California, where we have this place called In-N-Out Burger. And I'm a huge In-N-Out Burger fan. I used to drive an hour and a half one way to get to In-N-Out, true story. And so I'm always looking for, you know, great hamburgers. And so they said, hey, you got to try Shake Shack. Well, as it turns out, I landed at the Atlanta airport, and I'm walking to my next gate, and I've got about an hour and 10 minutes, and I haven't eaten yet that day on Friday, and it's about 8 o'clock at night, and I'm a little hungry. And so I'm walking to my gate, and sure enough, there is a Shake Shack in the Atlanta airport. I start having a spiritual experience right there. Woo! Okay, I didn't realize it, but Delta helped me to live within a blessing, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. Yes, I had a Shake Shack burger. It was good. It was actually very good. Not as good as In-N-Out, but it was good. It was good. Now, here's the thing. Why am I telling you that story? Because if you happen to call KCC home, or if you're visiting here for the first time this morning, let me tell you that you're sitting right now in an incredible blessing, and you may not even realize it. This church is an incredible church. It has an incredible history. An incredible history. Now, many of you will know this history. Some of you will not, and I'm going to make it very, very quick for you. So this church started in 1979 by a wonderful gentleman by the name of Dick Wynn. And Dick happens to be the father of Rhonda, who just helped lead us in worship. And Dick got this idea, along with a couple of others, that, you know, there needed to be a fresh expression of church here in the Kentwood area. But he made this determination. He was working for an organization back there called Youth for Christ. And he said, you know, I'm not going to start this thing by myself. I need a young buck who will start it with me. And so Dick decided that he was going to start this church, and he was looking for a young buck, and the young buck he found was this young guy who had just graduated from college. His name was Wayne Schmidt. And so he said to Wayne, will you join me in partnership and help plant this church? And Wayne said, sure, we'll do it together. And so they started meeting down on Breton Street on October 7th, 1979, and they outgrew that, and they had to move to a school, and they had to move to another building on Eastern. And then eventually they moved into this facility, and they were running about 800 when they moved into this facility. And some of you would have been part of that time. Some of you remember what is affectionately called the gym days, the gymnasium days, when they moved to this property, and the only thing that they really had was the gym and some Sunday school classes around it. How many of you happen to be here this morning that were part of those days, part of the gymnasium days? Raise your hand. Yeah, a bunch of you. I just want to say thank you. As a matter of fact, let's give them a hand, because they're the ones who've kind of built the foundation for what we have. Absolutely. And, you know, through those years, there were some phenomenal staff members that came and went. Pastor Kevin Myers was here, and Pastor Kevin ended up planting a church in Atlanta, and that church has now grown to about 16,000 people on a typical weekend. There are other phenomenal people like Mark Carroll, people like Jeff Eckert, people like Bill Lael, who came through here and God used in a powerful way and then moved them on to other wonderful ministries. And meanwhile, an incredible young man and his wife, they were newlyweds, and they started attending KCC and sitting up in the balcony area. And he was an engineer. But God began to tug on his heart, and he felt this call of God that maybe he was calling him into ministry. And so he ended up leaving his engineering job, and he and his newlywed wife, his still new bride, moved down to Wilmer, Kentucky, and went to seminary for 3 years. And I have to tell you, I met Pastor Wayne Schmidt in Kansas City. He and I were together at an event. I'd never met him before, and we're there. And he's a runner, and I'm a runner, so we go out running together one morning early, and we're out on this run, and Pastor Wayne starts bragging about this young guy, this African-American young man who had gone off to seminary, and he said, "I can't wait." He said, "I want to hire this guy, and I want him to come on to be our evangelism pastor at KCC." And so, as it turns out, that's exactly what happened. And this young man, as you all know, is Pastor Kyle and Petra Ray, who end up coming on staff as the evangelism pastor and then eventually became the senior pastor of this church. So here's what's interesting. Over the 39-year history of this place called KCC, it's only had three pastors. Three wonderful, healthy, vibrant pastors. Dick Nguyen, and then Wayne Schmidt, and then Pastor Kyle and Petra. I have to tell you, there's never been a church split. There's never been a huge division. If you call KCC your home or you're checking this place out, you are sitting right smack in the middle of a blessing, and you may not even realize it. This is a great church. It's a healthy church. It's a wonderful church. You ought to celebrate that. You really should. Now, what we also understand is that this is a very important season in the life of this church of KCC. Yes, KCC has a tremendous past. It's had three wonderful pastors, but I believe that God has an incredible future for us. In fact, I believe that the future of this church is even brighter than what we've seen in the past. I have to tell you kind of something funny, and that is that both Pastor Kyle and Pastor Wayne both texted me this morning and told me they were going to be praying for me. And so I said to Pastor Wayne, because he just texted me about 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago, and he said, "Hey, just want you to know I'm praying for you this morning." And I said, "Yeah, what you're really praying is, oh God, help him not screw this thing up." To which he texted me immediately back and said, "How did you know my exact words? How did you know that?" But here's the thing. See, we are in this very critical season as a church, which is why this morning on the way in, you were given this 40-day prayer guide. And I would just highly encourage you just to use this as part of your time with the Lord every morning. Just consider using this as an opportunity to pray for your church or for your new church during this time, and just asking the Lord Jesus to guide and direct us. Pastor Tricia put this together for us, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. Now, during this time of transition, KCC is going to continue down its vision. It has a very strong vision, and we're gonna focus during this time of transition on two aspects of it. Number one, on building a discipleship culture, life on life, helping other people grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And number two, we're gonna continue to grow in our multi-ethnic community. I so loved what Rhonda said earlier when she said, you know what, we're on this multi-ethnic journey, and because of that, we sing sometimes in Spanish. Now, you need to know that over the course of this time period, of this transition period, that the team has worked really, really hard on having diversity on stage and having diversity of speakers. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but some of the special people that are going to be coming in and speaking to you are off the charts amazing. You're really, really going to enjoy them. And over the season, between now and when our next senior pastor arrives, you're going to have a full plethora of diversity. You're going to enjoy it very well, very much. And so, you might have a couple of weeks in a row of a white person. You might have a couple of weeks in a row of a person of color, and that's cool. But over the diversity of it all, over the entire time period, you're going to see a full range of diversity. And I'm excited about that. It's part of who KCC is. And I'm excited about all that God is going to do. Yeah, praise be to God for that. Yeah. So, we're sitting in a time when we all need discernment. All of us do. Discernment is all about tuning our ears and our spirits to what God wants. for us personally and for us collectively as a church. Now, why would we want to know that? Because as I said in my introduction, God has good, he promises that he's got good plans for us, for our lives. He promises us that. So wouldn't it make sense that we'd want to learn how to hear his voice for us personally, for our life as family, and for our life as a church? I think we want to learn how to hear his voice. Because here's the thing, not learning his voice, not discerning his will, means that our lives end up getting off track. Means that our personal life can get off track, that our families can get off track, and it ultimately means that our church can get off track. And none of us want that. So it's incredibly important for us to discern God's will, what he wants us to do. So we're going to look at a biblical example of that, of both how not to do it and how to do it. But in order to do that, I need to set up the biblical story just a little bit. Jesus has just completed his earthly ministry. He's gone to the cross, and he's resurrected from the dead. And by the way, I can't wait to celebrate that with you on April 21st. You're going to have to put up with me on Easter, and looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to be with you, but also to celebrate Easter once again. It's the highlight of my year. But that has happened. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's resurrected from the grave. He's appeared to his disciples, and now he's ascended to heaven. And then you get this book in the New Testament called the Book of Acts. And it's all about the early church and what happens in the early church. So here's what happens. Set it up really easily. They're meeting. The disciples are meeting. And Pete kind of stands up and said, "Hey, guys, there were always 12 of us until Judas went off and got stupid on us. And now Judas is gone. And we need, you know, this was a team of 12. It's, I guess Jesus chose 12. I guess it's supposed to be a team of 12. So we need to choose 12 people, a 12th person, because we're one person down right now." So he gets all the disciples together and they say, we got to choose one more person. So what did they do? They end up nominating two folks. And this is exactly what happened. It's going to be up on the screen. Look at what they did. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." And then they cast lots. You know what they did? They rolled dice. That's what they did. And the lot fell to Matthias. So he was at it. Get this. So they rolled dice. Now, can you imagine that? "Jesus, tell me who you want me to date, and I'm just going to roll dice and see what you say. Jesus, tell me if you know what job you want me to take, and I'm just going to roll dice." And that's what they did. Jesus, how would you like it if KCC decided who the next pastor was going to be based on rolling dice? That's what they did. Now what's interesting is that I think, I appreciate their efforts. I appreciate what they tried to do, but I think Jesus had a better plan. I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be ruled by rolling dice. And so here's what you need to know. Matthias, he's mentioned here in Acts chapter 1, never mentioned again throughout the entire Bible. We never hear about him again. Because I think God had someone else in mind. I think God had someone else in store, but it was someone that they never would have chosen. Someone that they never would have thought of. See, jump forward, still in the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 8, and there's this wonderful guy by the name of Stephen who is proclaiming the good news of God. Now, he's not one of the 12, but he's still an awesome, awesome follower of Jesus Christ, and he's proclaiming the good news of God. And as he's proclaiming it, the Jewish leaders of his day start getting frustrated at him, so frustrated that they want to kill him. And so they end up killing him. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, this is what it says. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. So this Saul guy was obviously an enemy of the church. He didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. So jump now to the next chapter. And we're going to look at an entire passage of scripture here in chapter 9 of Acts. So turn to your neighbor and say, "Get ready. We're going to look at the Bible." Go ahead. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Get ready. We're going to look at the Bible. Here we go. And meanwhile, Saul, and by the way, this Saul is the exact same person as the person Paul. So sometimes in the book of Acts, it calls him Saul. Sometimes in the book of Acts, it calls him Paul, but it's the same guy. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. He was all for that. So he went to the high priest, and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, a city not far from Jerusalem, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way, which is Christians, that he found there. And he wanted to bring these Christians back, both men and women, to Jerusalem in chains. So as he was approaching Damascus on this very mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, now I wish I could sound like God, but this, I can't, but this is what the voice sounded like, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now Saul, get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Well, the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they didn't see anyone. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he realized he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now, there was a believer in Damascus by the name of Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. And the Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. I love Ananias' response. But Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this guy's done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Can I just translate that? God, are you nuts? Like, what are you thinking here? You've got to be loony. Like, what are you thinking? But the Lord said, go. As a parent, have you ever told your kids, just go clean your room? I don't care. Just go clean the dishes. Just go do your chores. Just, in Jesus' name, go to your room. Before I kill you, okay? That's kind of what's going on here with God and Ananias. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias was obedient, and he went and found Saul. And he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he got up, and he was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food, and he regained his strength. And Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is indeed the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same guy who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priest? But Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Now, you'd think the church would get really excited about this. Their biggest enemy has now become an advocate for them, has now joined the team. But actually, that's not what happens at all. What happens is that people just stiff-arm Paul or Saul. They treat him just like Ananias did. They're quite frankly very afraid of him. They had their doubts. And matter of fact, it took the church a long while to believe that God had actually chosen the Apostle Paul. So what does Paul do? Well, most scholars believe that he went off for 2 or 3 years and he was by himself, just hanging out by himself, trying to think through his life and become acquainted with the person of Jesus. But there's this wonderful leader in the early church, a guy by the name of Barnabas, which literally means son of encouragement. He was just an encourager. He believed in everybody. He just believed that God could do amazing things in people's lives. So Barnabas takes off and looks for Saul. As a matter of fact, you find that in Acts chapter 11. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him back to this church in Antioch. And both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. Now, that's Acts chapter 11. Fast forward finally to Acts 13. And while they were there, the church of Antioch, so just like the church at KCC, while they are there in the church in Antioch, they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, if you keep reading the book of Acts, what you find is that this guy, Paul, who used to be Saul or Saul and Paul, he's amazingly used by God. He goes around and all over the known world at that point, and people come to Christ through his message, through his work. Amazing things happen. This is the person that God had chosen. It wasn't Matthias in Acts chapter 1. Actually, it was Paul in Acts chapter 9 and following it. This was God's person. But imagine the joy of the church of Antioch as they said, you know what? He's one of our own. We get to send him out. And then he's going to come back and he's going to preach here and then we get to send him. There's this wonderful interchange that happens with the church of Antioch. You know, they took the risk on this guy by the name of Paul and they empowered him for ministry. But as a result, lives are powerfully changed. They were a sending church. Now, if you've just joined KC in the last 18 months or so, you may not know this, but this church has a long history. As a matter of fact, it is known throughout the country as being a church that plants new churches, that starts new churches. That's what this church has been known for in its history. And you've helped churches get started in Lowell. This weekend, there'll be a church in Lowell, and they'll have about 13 or 1,400 people there in Lowell this weekend that was started from KCC. This weekend, as I already mentioned, there'll be a church in Atlanta that will have somewhere between 15 and 17,000 people in it that was planted out of this church. This weekend, there's a church called the Center Church in Byron Center that was started out of this church. This weekend, there's a church in Caledonia called Journey, and they'll have 400 or 500 people that was started out of this church. This weekend, of course, we have our Wyoming campus, and we also have campuses or different church plants throughout Grand Rapids that were started as a result of this church. There's a church in Nagpur, India, and it was launched, it was planted, helped to be planted out of this church. This is a multiplying church, and not only that, but this church has grandchildren. You may be only 22 years old, but you're a grandparent if you call KCC your church, because you have helped start churches that have then helped start other churches, and there will be people that you will not meet on this side of heaven that will walk up to you and that will say to you, thank you for being part of KCC, because you were part of KCC, because you gave to KCC, because you were part of the ministry of KCC, a church was started in my area, and I was an alcoholic, and I came to know the Lord Jesus. I was addicted. I was facing a divorce, and I found myself in a church. And because I found myself in that church, which was a church plant of KCC's, my life was radically transformed. See, KCC has a storied and wonderful past of God using it to plant other churches. And you ought to be thrilled about that. You're sitting right smack in the middle of a blessing right now, and you may not realize it. Yeah. KCC is also known for having a deep desire that the congregation here will look like the congregation and the multi-ethnic diversity that we're going to see in heaven. We want to celebrate, we want to embrace it and celebrate ethnic diversity, knowing that that's what heaven's going to be like. See, here's the thing. I know what's on some of our minds is who's going to be the next senior pastor and when are we going to find out when they're going to be, who they're going to be. Well, perhaps the big question is not who will we get as our next lead pastor and when will we get them. Perhaps that's not the big question. Perhaps the big question is, will we as congregants continue to be committed to be an Antioch-style church that makes a huge difference like we've been making over the last 39 years here in Kentwood and here in this region through church planting and around the world? Now, there is a gentleman who's with us this morning who was the mayor of Kentwood and then became the mayor of KCC. He was the executive pastor here for a long time. His name is Jerry DeRider, and he's sitting in this service. I was with Jerry a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to talk to him about this transition period, and this is what he said. His quote's up on the screen. "I believe KCC is going to continue to be an asset to this community. We have a storied past of serving this community, and we will continue to do so. We are called to do so." Amen. Amen. See, the brightest days of KCC are still in its future. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God is going to lead KCC to an individual. You've picked a wonderful search team. I had the privilege of being with them a week ago Tuesday and being involved in their training process as they roll up their sleeves and they put on a discerning hat and ask the Father to help them discern who God is leading here to be the next lead pastor of KCC. You've got a wonderful team, but I believe that God is going to lead someone to KCC who is going to be all about multiplying churches, because that's part of the DNA of KCC, and who's also going to be all about the multi-ethnic diversity journey that we have been on for years now. I believe that. I believe wholeheartedly. And I believe that what's going to happen is that God is going to continue to lead KCC in such a way that through that journey, that everyone will feel welcome at KCC. It won't matter their background. It won't matter their ethnicity. It won't matter what they've been involved in the past. It won't matter how worthy of God's love they feel. As a matter of fact, everyone will feel welcome at KCC, no matter what they've done or who they are. They will walk in here and they will feel the love of God, and they will begin to allow the love of God to transform them from the inside out. And when they walk in these doors, they will sense something is wonderfully different here. I've never felt love like I feel in this place. I've never felt acceptance like I feel it in this place. This must be what God is like, and they will sense that from you. And I sense that that's who God's gonna lead to this place and lead us into the future He has for us. The future here is bright. The question is, are we gonna prepare ourselves for the person God has for us? Are we gonna spend time praying? Are we gonna spend time reading His word? Man, I pray that you would do that during this time. Are we going to spend time learning to tune into God's voice? Now, that's what it looks like collectively, but I want to make this incredibly personal also for you where you live, day in and day out, because here's what I know. I know that some of you walked in and you're trying to discern right now whether you should keep the job that you have or whether you should get a different job. You're trying to discern right now, should you go to college, and if so, which college? You're trying to discern right now, should you buy this house or not buy this house? You're trying to discern right now, how best can we get help for our marriage? Because right now, we're in a pretty difficult time in our marriage. You're trying to discern right now, how do I not kill my child, but actually believe in my child? How do I parent? See, here's the deal. I'm a father. I'm an old man with young kids, so I have a 14 and a 13-year-old daughter at home. And so this is how my prayer life goes. Sound man, get ready. This is how my prayer life goes. I wake up in the morning. I say hello to the Lord. First thing in the morning, I pray and say, God, this is going to be a great day. And then I remember that I'm married to my wife. And I say, God, help me to love her as Christ loves the church. And then I think of my two daughters who are 14 and 13. And I think of being their dad. And you know what I do next? I go, help! That's what I do. Some of you are in that discerning period right now where you're trying to discern the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. Well, the good news is that He desperately wants us to know that. See, here's the deal. We can grow in discernment. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. See, God is interested in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect He's interested in. Matter of fact, this guy by the name of David writes in Psalm 139, you watch me when I travel and when I rest. You're familiar with all of my ways. See, we are never outside of God's will or His desire to help us and to guide us and direct us and lead us. The Bible makes it clear. And when we're in those times of discernment, we really can learn to hear God's voice. One of the books that's been most helpful for me in doing this is a book by Dallas Willard, just called Hearing God. I would highly recommend it for you. It's an easy read. If you've never read this book, I highly recommend it to you. See, last thing, and then I'll be done. Yes, God is interested in every aspect of your life. He really is. He's intimately aware of all of your ways. But can I tell you, so often we get so focused on our lives that we forget that we're part of a bigger mission. We forget that God actually brought us into a relationship with Him because He wants us to join Him in the bigger mission that He's part of. See, God placed us here to fulfill a mission, and this mission fills our lives with passion and meaning and purpose like nothing else can. Video games can't touch this. Smartphone games can't touch this. Nothing can touch the purpose and the plan that God has for our lives. Jesus called his first disciples. And he said, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called to them, hey, guys, come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets. Jesus called them, and he's calling us to a bigger mission, a bigger purpose. So yes, he cares about KCC. Yes, he cares about your personal life. And yes, he cares about you joining him on this mission that he has. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. He'll just take care of you. As we get along with his purpose and his plan, he'll take care of us. So, the big question is not, will God be with us and help us discern the decisions that we care about? The big question is whether or not we'll wake up and realize that he's calling us to be part of his mission of helping other people come into a relationship with him. So, three action steps, and then I'm going to pray for us. Number one, yes, pray for the lead pastor search. Take that 40-day guide that you got on the way in. Take that and use it. Let's pray together for the next 40 days. Let's pray for the search team. Let's pray that God would give us collectively discernment about who God wants to be the next senior pastor. And by the way, don't be surprised if there's someone who's very different than who you thought they might be, just like the Apostle Paul was. Number two, ask God to prepare you for who he's bringing to KCC. God says, prepare me. And number three, ask Jesus to keep you from being distracted and to open your eyes so you can join him in introducing people to himself. I get it, you've got a job. I get it, you've got a mortgage to pay. I get it, you're parenting, you're grandparenting. I get it, your lives are busy, they're filled, I get that. I'm right there with you. I oversee 155 churches. I'm in the midst of a PhD program. I got two girls at home. I know what it's like to have a very busy schedule. But in the midst of that, Jesus is inviting me and he's inviting you to be part of his bigger mission. Can I just be stupid and then I'll pray with you? An hour and a half ago, I'm over there at Starbucks because I haven't matured enough to go to Big B yet. Someday I'll grow up and be mature enough and go to Big B. But I'm at Starbucks and I don't drink coffee. I only drink hot chocolate because I'm not mature enough to drink coffee. I'm old enough, but not mature enough. And so I'm at Starbucks having hot chocolate and I'm the only one in the place. It's me and all the baristas, all the Starbucks employees. And I just said to them, just because I'm a nut job, I just said, hey, it happened to be all ladies. Hey, ladies, thanks for working this morning. You're going to make everybody's day so much better today because what everyone's going to be craving today is caffeine. Like they're all, you know, jumping their clocks ahead an hour. They're going to be craving you and caffeine. You're going to make everybody's day so much happier. As a matter of fact, and this is what I said in front of them all. As a matter of fact, you, Jesus, and caffeine is going to make everybody happy. And they started laughing. Just a little simple way of introducing the difference that Jesus makes. You're on mission. Join him with it. Join him in it. You're sitting in the middle of a blessing. Jesus wants to bless you, and he wants to bless this church, and he wants you to join him in how he's going to reach Kentwood, the region, and the world. Well, you've sat long enough. Would you mind standing and let me pray for you? And let me just say that if you're in a particular difficult time, maybe you didn't feel comfortable coming up in front of everyone and praying. I get that. Right outside that door, right outside these doors, is a chapel. And there are people there waiting to pray with you that would love just to pray with you and say, how can I pray? Maybe you're in a time of discernment. Maybe there's just stuff going on and you just love for someone to pray for you. There are people over there waiting. Please don't leave this place if you need prayer without allowing us the privilege of praying with you. Okay, let me pray with us. Jesus, thank you for the beautiful and the awesome men and women in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible love for them. You are crazy in love with all of us. Thank you for that. Jesus, I pray right now for us collectively as a body of believers that you would help us to discern, that you would be with the search team and help them to discern who you're calling, that you would be with the board and as they work with the search team, that, together they would be unified and they would know, Jesus, who you're calling to be the next senior pastor, the next lead pastor here at KCC. But God, I pray for men and women in this room that they're trying to discern things in their own personal life. I pray that they would understand that they don't just need to make that decision on their own, that you are intimately aware of all of their ways and you want to guide them and direct them. Help them to discern your good, perfect, and pleasing will. Help them to lean into you until they've heard your voice speak to them. And God, finally, for anybody who's walked in this day, who's forgotten that they're ultimately on a mission, maybe they're not in a relationship with you yet, I pray that they would talk to someone in the prayer chapel and say, what does it mean to be in this relationship with God where I could actually hear his voice? What does that look like? I pray that they would cross the line of faith this morning. And for others who've already done that, I pray that they would understand that they're on a mission from you, a mission that will fill their life with meaning and purpose and energy. Jesus, thank you for inviting us in to the mission that you're on. You could have left us out of it, but you've invited us to join you. Help us to do that, we pray, this week in the midst of all of our lives. Help us to understand that the mission that we're on for you has more meaning and more purpose for all eternity than anything else we could be doing. So we love you so much. Thanks again for meeting with us in this place this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.